5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Ferrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Got a little Pro Fighters League action on here late night, Carver High. I just turned the channel. I want to watch the rest of the... I'll watch the fourth quarter of the... Or at least the second half. I've watched all of the Blazer games so far, but I'll get into it in a second half. But now I'm watching some PFL, which is completely terrible, but why not? Two guys killing each other, punching each other in the skull, making
people Well, this is Kayla leading. Harrison tonight, right? Isn't Kayla That's Harrison right. the main event? She's like a minus 4,000 favorite in that fight.
I guess Clarissa Shields fights in this thing, too, for some reason, and she got beat.
She lost?
She just lost.
Oh, what a shame.
So I turned this on. But anyway, what did James Worthy say tonight about the Lakers loss to the Thunder? By the way, they led in this game, I think, by as much as 25 or 26 points.
Yes, at the half. 123 to 115, they lose. Worthy does the post-game show on Sportsnet LA. And tonight he said, quote, "This might be the worst loss in Laker, the worst Lakers loss I've seen. Send him back on the Greyhound. Don't even send him back on the plane. Put him on the Greyhound and send him home." Your boy James Worthy, not happy with the Laker performance tonight in Oklahoma City.
Classic line, something Bob Knight would do. Send him home on the bus. You're not flying with the team. Walk home. He used to say from West Lafayette, if you lose to Purdue, walk home. I'm not driving you. I'm not flying you. Walk home. I don't care what you do. By the way, I mean, it is truly amazing to me how, frankly, terrible they are. I can't imagine a team with that much talent. I don't care how old they are. I really don't. I mean, listen, I'm still balling. I'm 56. I know I don't matter. I don't fool myself into thinking I'm some kind of NBA player or anything, but I can flat out play basketball, and I'm 56 years old, and I can play with 20-year-olds, and I can score on anyone. It doesn't matter who you are. I can score on you, and that's just all there is to it. So for me, guys that are 35, 38 years old on the Lakers, to me, that's spring chicken. I mean it. And I know people say, oh, in the NBA, that's an old man. I just don't agree with that. I do not believe that at all. You're telling me LeBron James is an old man? I know everyone thinks he's an old man. He'll dunk in your face all day, every day, 6 ways till Sunday. There's no one in the league that can stop him. Not one player. So until you can prove that otherwise, then you're an idiot. Because no one can stop Carmelo Anthony from chucking threes all night. I mean, the guy, if he's on, if he's hitting, forget it. He'll do whatever he wants. You're telling me that, I mean, I know they're going to say, you know, guys like Dwight Howard, Rondo, all of them are too old. And Rondo will embarrass you as a point guard. And then Brody, is he too old too? He's a triple-double machine. We're talking about Westbrook. He got someone out of that game tonight, by the way. Late in the game, giving somebody the business on Thunder. We welcome our radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Mighty Ear 1090, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces, Hoorah! So on a bench with Pharrell at Carver High on a midweek Wednesday. So Westbrook got thrown out of the game. They got beat. They suck. It's unbelievable to me because they have so much talent. I'm sorry. They're loaded with talent. They should be winning. That's all there is to it. And they lose to the Thunder. Now, I mean, the Thunder have been getting beat by everybody. Now, listen, they haven't played enough games to start abusing them that they suck so bad. Everybody's calling them a G League team and everything else. I've always said on Coast to Coast, I liked Shai Gilgeous. I got no problem. His game is sick. So if you got him, you can't be that bad. I mean, you're bad. Fair enough, right? You are bad. I get it. That's great. Congratulations. But, I mean, I just don't see how you can be that bad. You know what I mean? I just, there's a difference between bad and that bad, you know? Dort, I think, is a player. That's your boy Dort, Carver High. Shai Gilgeous, I like. I'd agree. The rest of the team is no-name city. The kid Giddy can play. But the rest of them are bums. Favors.
Listen, they're bunk, all right? The Lakers shouldn't be losing games to Oklahoma City. They shouldn't be losing games to them.
That's their first win, Oak City.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. And then what I want to know is Davis played and had 30. Westbrook had 20, 14 and 13. He had a triple-double, still got thrown out of the game. Melo had 13, but he was 1 of 8 from 3. Bradley had 13. He had 3 threes. Bazemore had 11. You know, in my view, in all honesty, Bazemore does not fit on that team at all. I think he's a bum. That's all there is to it. So anyway, I don't know what's worse. The Timberwolves beat the Bucks 113-108, or the Lakers losing. I mean, the Timberwolves, that's a huge win for them. And Towns had 25, Russell had 29, Anthony Edwards had 25, 73. I told you, Anthony Edwards, man, maybe not this year, but to me, without a doubt, Luka, Durant, and him are going to win MVPs. So, Carver High, I know that tomorrow is a big day for football. In my opinion, you've got the Packers in Arizona in the Valley. And, of course, that number is at 6.5 now with Aaron Rodgers. And then also Troy and Coastal play at Coastal.
Big game.
Coastal laying 17. Of course, they're ranked 24th. I mean, I guess it's cool to be ranked, but when you're ranked 24th, man, I mean, honestly, when you're at the you know.
Well, their season ended last week.
Anything past 15 sucks.
Their season ended last week, as we know. Losing that game to App State and ending their undefeated season, that finishes it off for Coastal. They don't matter anymore now.
They don't matter. Also, South Florida and East Carolina tomorrow. And I know a lot of people that were on that East Carolina team when that number was at 8.5. It's
wow.
At 10 now. So more and more people are betting it, right?
I'll say this. I don't think that East Carolina is good enough to be 10-point favorites over anybody. Okay.
And that
includes USF, who, listen, they're not a good team either. They did get a big win at home over Temple last week. Nice double-digit win at home over Temple. I know this is Joe Lisi's team. He loves back in USF. For me, the play is I'm going to take the points with USF because I just don't feel like East Carolina should be laying that kind of number. Shouldn't.
Yeah, so I'm with you. East Carolina wins, but I'll take the 10. And then I think Coastal will take it out, their frustrations on Troy, to be honest with you. Troy's 4-3, but I think they're in for a rough night at Coastal. I could be wrong. So tell me, you've said essentially over and over to me on Coast to Coast that you're on Rodgers in the 6.5.
Oh, no doubt about it. I'm sorry. It's just, you're going to give me 6.5 points with Rodgers? I'll take it, especially against a team that, look, they're 7-0. I get it. But you said it perfectly yesterday. I mean, they could go 15-1. I think all these teams will beat them in Arizona in the playoffs. I think the Green Bay would beat them in the playoffs in Arizona. I think Tampa would beat them in the playoffs in Arizona. I think the Rams would beat them in the playoffs in Arizona. So, you know, it is what it is. Give me 6.5 with Rodgers tomorrow night. Let's go.
All right, so you know the news tonight is that J.J. Watt's done for the year.
Finished.
That didn't take long. You know, I actually remember questioning the deal when they got him to begin with, when I told you.
Doesn't play anymore.
He just can't stay on the football field in Houston or otherwise. I felt like the injuries had caught up with him in Houston, and then they went and he went to Arizona, and I never thought for 1 minute he'd make it the whole season. He's always injured. So he's going to have shoulder surgery. In my opinion, I think his career's over.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to disagree with you here. How many more of these, you know, how many more of these can we do? And well, he wasn't playing that terrible either here at the beginning of the season.
No.
But it's just every year it's something else. It just keeps piling on.
So, you know, we talked about how Arizona has, you know, Watt now, Hopkins missed practice. I don't know what that means. But if they don't have Hopkins, they don't have Watt, you know, I'm not worried about J.J. Watt anyway, whether he plays or not. I'm really not that worried about him. To me, that football team has played stunningly good defense. I mean, even without Jones, they've won. They've gotten the job done every week, no matter where they play. When they went to, what was it? You know, their big game on the road. That they just won. Was it against, who was it?
The Cardinals you're talking about?
Yeah.
I would say their biggest win on the road this year was the Rams, right? When they won in L.A. a couple weeks ago? Or was there one since then?
Yeah, well, certainly that one. I'll give you that. But, you know, when they went and kicked the Browns' ass, is the game we're talking about. All right, so they went and kicked the Browns' ass, and they didn't have Jones or anybody. Listen, they won come hell or high water, no matter who they play. So does any of that faze you with, you know, word that Hopkins didn't practice and Watt's done now for the year? Does any of that faze you or change your opinion? Because I got to be honest with you, I'm not worried about J.J. Watt anyway. And I think Kirk and everyone involved with that offense, with or without Hopkins, you know, Green, you name it, I think they can beat anybody.
I agree. I'm with you here. I think they could beat anybody as well. I'm not really that worried about Watt. Hopkins matters. If he doesn't have Hopkins out there, that's a big deal. But he's done this. He does this a lot. Doesn't practice. Does play in the game. I think he's going to play tomorrow night. I think he'll be out there.
So at least give me some kind of idea of what you think's going to happen. Oh, violence in this welterweight championship as this Cooper guy just knocked out this Russian.
Yeah.
I mean, flush.
I just saw him knock him down.
I mean, come on.
He completely just, oof.
I mean, good night. He just knocked him into tomorrow.
Wow. That's how you
that
do
guy,
it.
Right he might be dead.
It's very possible.
That guy's dead. I know he's moving, but he's dead. You're dead to me. You know what a Hossa is, Frank? You're dead to me. Listen to me. I mean, that guy needs a cold beer. He's up there sticking smelling salts on him to wake him up. He got knocked out so bad, they're putting the smelling salts in his eye. Forget about his nose. I mean, this guy Cooper's over yelling at the broadcasters. Your boy Kenny Florian sitting there in disbelief. Like, Florian's talking right now about it. Kenny doing PFL fights. After being a UFC star, now he's doing PFL fights. What is next? Don't get me started, Carver High, on the different levels of fighting. Don't get me started. I'll end up in trouble tomorrow.
Yeah. Like, this, I get it. This Kayla Harrison thing, I was telling Mafi this the other night when we were doing the show. Like, I'm tired of this, watching her beat up these girls at minus 4,000, minus 4,500. Like, let's go already. Get this girl in the UFC and put her in there with Nunez. I want to see her fight somebody for real. Let's go.
Right, because she's fighting Candy.
Enough of this nonsense. I mean, we watch. I feel like this is the second or third time in a row we've been on the same night, and she's been fighting in this PFL, and she just absolutely mauls these girls. I mean, it's embarrassing. Embarrassing.
She's going to come up here and fight again and destroy whoever they put in front of her.
Her fight's going to
be short. First round.
Won't go out of the first round. First round. Destroyed.
First round. I got to see this punch land. Oh, my God. Right to the temple. I mean, that guy's out cold. He's out cold. They had to wake him up with a defibrillator. I mean, he missed on an uppercut, too, and then just got rung the F up. Oh, right to the jaw. It wasn't even the temple. It rocked him in the jaw. Oh, and then the overhead put him to sleep. Oh, and he hit him again in the jaw for good measure. Then he turned toward the camera from close up, and he got a massive shot of his action in his pants. They just got a close-up of his jelly. It was awful. The guy turned toward the camera and zoom, and the first thing I saw was his package. I'm like, Jesus, look out. What could be worse? I was having a good day until that happened. What just happened to me? I just got sucker punched. Wow. The World Series is boring. This is Pharrell on the Bench. What do you think of this hockey game, the Flyers and Oilers in Edmonton? You're right about that. It's a track meet.
Yeah, this game is super fast-paced. Already 6 goals halfway through it. These teams are just going up and down the ice. There is little to no defense in it. And the total, this was why I said the on Coast to Coast today. It's rare you see the pregame total of 7. And you got that in this game, and it's automatically going to at least push that. That's if nobody scores the rest of the game. But I think that we're going to see a lot more scoring in this one.
Yeah, there's too much time left. 8 minutes left in the second. How about the Knights winning in Dallas in overtime? They beat the Avs, and then they win this game. I mean, they've woken up from the dead.
And they had some major travel issues. They didn't get to Dallas until 3 hours before the game. Apparently, they had issues getting from Denver to Dallas from last night. They got in there about 3:30, got to the arena, got the gear on, and went and played. Tough spot for the Knights, and they end up getting a big 2 points out of it.
Wow. What was the problem with the travel?
I did not see. I'm sure that maybe in the post game, guys will elaborate a little bit. The broadcast crew dropped it when they came on the air tonight, but maybe they'll let everybody know afterwards.
Always the play-by-play and color analysts start complaining about.
Wow, well, that's because they're the ones that
conditions.
Yeah. Stunning development that they're the ones who had to let the cat out of the bag that it took them forever to get to Dallas today.
You know, the one thing that I knew more than anything else was that when I got on that team plane, and I did it with the Steelers and the Thrashers. And when I got on the plane, I knew where I was sitting. I had the seat right next to the bathroom in the last row. I knew exactly where I was sitting. I didn't have to have a ticket. I knew where my seat was every single trip. And I mean, even though, I'll give you this, fans love the announcers, like, you know, Mike Lang at the Penguins and legendary guy Pat Foley in Chicago. You know, it's not Pat Foley's fault that they got the rapist on the team. You know what I mean?
No.
But there's, you know, Rick Jenneret. It goes on and on. Bob Miller, all these legendary guys, right? They don't treat them bad. I'll give you that much. But the rest of these guys in the league, I mean, they think nothing of them. I'm just being honest. Like, the teams could care less about the hockey announcers. They'll be nice to them.
Most of them.
Be like, you know, Brendan Burke. Good morning, Brendan. How's it going, buddy? All right. Hey, dude. What's happening? Have a good day. That's about it. I mean, trust me, they don't care. I was the funniest guy in the league. They love partying with me. Believe me, you, I had best friends all across the league. But at the end of the day, I knew that I didn't matter. I just knew that I had nothing to do with anything. And you got to know your place in, I think, life and in careers and in jobs and in sports. And if you know your place, you can benefit greatly. You can take it full advantage of when you know your role, know your place. Trust me when I tell you, I used to get on that plane and I went right to the back. I knew exactly where my seat was. Wow. And I have no problem with it. I didn't like the, you know, I got to wear a blazer and I, every day. And like, I got to eat the same food as you. Like, I got to eat chicken, salmon, and pasta every day with cranberry juice. I'm just like, what nightmare am I living in here? I would be like, I broke every rule. So they said, you're only allowed to eat the chicken and the salmon and the pasta. And I'd order a steak and have it delivered to the press box right on the air, right on the air live. I'd have the guy, here comes the guy from Morton's bringing my steak into the press box. I had everyone up in arms. I mean, my color analyst was the biggest narc I ever met in my life. Like, this guy narked on me when I, you know, blew my nose, he narked on me. If I went to the bathroom, he narked on me. If I ordered food, he narked on me. If I drank a beer, he narked on me. If I went out at the hotel to the bar after the game, he narked on me. I mean, this guy narked on me more than my wife. I mean, honestly. And I didn't care. I used to tell him, go ahead and narc on me. See if I care. What do you think of that, Carver High? Of all the travel? Like, I can hear the guy now on the air complaining about the travel.
Yeah, and actually a lot of teams in the league now, they don't have the broadcasters travel with them anymore. They got to go travel on their own commercial. A good number of teams. Not everybody, but a good number of teams now, they don't do that anymore. Traveling with the team, they make them go your own way. We'll see you in the next city. Get them out of here.
They don't do that now, do they, really?
A lot of teams do. Oh, yeah. The Islanders do it. Butchie and Brendan. They ain't on the team plane.
They travel on their own now. Like, they take their own flight.
Yeah, they're at their own travel.
That's crazy. That's just stupid. Because for years, it was always everyone on the team, including the announcers on TV and radio, all were on the same flight. You know, what's weird is that on the, believe it or not, the coaches on our team, they flew in the back too. The coaches were in the back. They were like right in front of us, and the announcers were in the very back. And then right in front of us were all the coaches and trainers and all that. And then the players went up to the front of the plane, and it was seniority. Now, the plane was set up. It was the Hawks plane, and they shared it with the Thrashers. And it was all the players had first-class seats, right? So they were all leather seats, and they were all spaced out, so they were like beds, so that the players could literally lay down after games and be covered in ice for a while and sleep it off, the games and the physicality and their bodies aching. And it was pretty cool. That was like all the players. And then in the back of the plane, it was more, I think, you know, they had it spaced out differently, but it was kind of more normal seats in the back, but they had space. So they like took out, you know, like in coach on an airplane, you're right up with your knees in your face. They didn't have that on an NHL NBA team. They just had, you had a lot of space, and they had nice seats for the entire team, but the players had more space and like bed-like conditions. And then the rest of the team, the coaches and the broadcasters had like, they had like big leather seats, first-class seats, just less space, right? Fair enough. So that's what I remember the experience being like. But and same thing when I was on the Steelers. Imagine me, I was like, you know, 23 years old, and I was traveling with the Steelers every week on the Steelers team plane. And I was, you know, shaking in my boots. I was like, what is happening here? I'm on this team. And these guys are monsters in the NFL. You don't even believe it when you're standing there next to them. And they're 6'5", 330 pounds, right? Some of these linemen, I used to just be blown away at how gigantic they were. And I remember just how much food they ate. I've never seen anything like it. Like, thousands of calories a meal. Like, it was amazing watching them eat, like at the, you know, at the team training table, whatever you call it. I used to be blown away by watching them eat and how big they were and how ripped they were. And most of them were pretty cool, and it was an amazing experience to be a young guy and to be around that, like, you know, and to get on that plane. I remember back then I was like, all right, I got to wear a sport coat and a tie. I got to do this. I got to do that. It was crazy. But then when I got to the NHL all these years later, I thought to myself, why am I still wearing a sport coat? Why do I have to do all this? And, you know, you travel so much, you're playing 80 games or whatever. I'm thinking to myself, can't we just be cool here and be casual? I mean, what's the deal? I don't feel like I should have to do this. I thought it was a pain in the ass. Anyway, big win, you're right, for Vegas, whether they had travel problems or not. They've been a last-place team. Are you surprised at the start that they've had, Carver High?
Yeah, pretty slow out of the gates, that's for sure. But now that we're back into more of a little bit of a traditional season than we've had the last two, with the shortened season and the going to finish a playoff in a bubble, getting back to the standard 82 games over 6 months, you could survive a little bit of a rough patch to start the season as long as you can get things going.
Are you surprised at how good the Oilers have been?
They've been excellent so far, that's for sure. But honestly, and you know this, it's not going to matter what they do in the regular season. It doesn't make a difference. They can go 60-20. Are they going to get it done in the playoffs? That's what matters.
I mean, this guy McDavid is so unbelievable. Don't you think it's time for him to finally do something big if he's such a badass?
Yeah, but here's the problem. The rest of the team isn't that great. Their goaltending is still awful. And in the playoffs, what do you need? You need goaltending. You're not playing 6-5 games in the playoffs. You're playing 2-1 games. And every goal matters a little bit more. And you can't have these hacks that they've had in the pipes the last few years, and they still have them this year. You can't have those guys in the playoffs.
How come they can't figure that out? Like, as an organization, I mean, of all things, you can't figure out you need a goalie year after year. They just keep going to the well with all these hack goalies.
Can't figure it out.
It really is amazing. We'll come back and we'll figure out everything that's going on with the World Series, how boring that's been. The Astros won 7-2, and we'll talk about the Pharrell Ballers a little bit here before we get out of here tonight. All right, Pharrell on the bench. So, Carver High, I have to tell you, swing and a miss again on the World Series. I've had more fun picking my teeth than watching the Braves 6-2 win last night and the Astros 7-2 win tonight in Game 2. Yeah. Series now 1-1. And off day tomorrow, travel day. They'll pick it up with Game 3 Friday night in Hot Town in Atlanta. I don't know what it is, but I'm getting absolutely nothing out of this at this point. Two games in, I want nothing to do with this. I'm bored to death with it. I'm just being honest.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm right there with you. This has been a very tough watch. I guess the only thing I can give them credit for tonight is they did it in 3 hours and 15 minutes instead of 4 hours and 15 minutes like last night. Like, I guess that's the only thing I can say positive about it. Both games have been bunk. Both games you had teams take big leads early in the first three innings and then absolute cruise control the rest of the way. Nobody threatened. Nobody did anything. It has not been great so far. I think this is going to be one of those series where, you know, we might have to wait until, you know, a sixth and seventh game before we get a lot of real juice here.
So the Cardinals, Michael Gersh, the Mets asked to speak to him about the open president's job, but he elected to stay with the Cardinals. I mean, is it really like nine people now have not worked out for the Mets job? And it's president of baseball operations, correct? Is that not amazing to you that nine people have not worked out, turned them down, said no, whatever you want to call it, in that, in essence, I thought to myself today, why not just get rid of the job altogether? Just eliminate the position. Because now I know every team has one, president of baseball operations, but I'm starting to think, what's the point if you have nine people turn you down
for
the job? And you're the New York Mets. Now, listen, you can say whatever you want about the New York Mets, but they have more money than God. I mean, the Yankees and Mets have the most money in baseball and Dodgers, right? I mean, that's just all there is to it. And you're turning down the New York Mets. They're that embarrassing. And their owner's a billionaire 10 times over. I don't care how he stole his money. I mean, that's what he did. He stole all of it.
Well,
he's a Wall Street thief. And the bottom line is no one wants to work for him. And they can't find someone to take the job. That is amazing to me. Like, why even have the job? Why not just, I mean, because Sandy Alderson, I think, is shot. And I know they just refuse to admit that he is. And they just keep him around. He's like an old dog that won't die. I mean, honestly, he really is. I don't know why they even want to hire a president of baseball operations anymore. What they should focus on, in my opinion, is, frankly, and I think they need this worse than any team I've ever seen. I think they should just, and I hate to say it, but I think they should just hire Buck Showalter to be their manager and let him run everything. Because everyone else that they touch is an idiot.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you an update here on why nobody wants this job, and it's pretty clear here. So this was from the Daily News today. Update on the Mets front office search and how Steve Cohen is leading the process with Chris Christie's involvement. So Cohen is mostly talking listen to this. This is from the Daily News today. Steve Cohen is mostly talking with uninformed people like former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie and the folks
at his... What a loser.
Listen to this. And the folks at his hedge fund, .72, who serve as some of his advisors during the search. According to a source familiar with the situation, Christie joined the Mets board of directors in February, and his son Andrew also works for the Mets as the coordinator of amateur and international scouting. Steve Cohen keeps Sandy Alderson informed on the status of the search and occasionally asks him to dig around for more candidates, per the source of the situation. So let's get down to the bones here of why nine people so far have absolutely ran and hid from the Mets president of baseball operations job. You have an owner who's been in the league for less than a year that has $9 billion, loves to say whatever he wants on Twitter, and he's got people advising him that have absolutely nothing to do with Major League Baseball. It sounds like Sandy Alderson isn't even involved in whatever is going on. Now you know why all these people have turned this job down right there.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me just sum this up. Chris Christie is such a loser that, do you remember they were going to replace Mike Francesa with Chris Christie? They were going to let that fat ass be a sports talk host on WFAN New York They were so suckered by him and his politics and his, you know, BS that just flows out of his fat face. And they were going to let him replace Mike Francesa. I mean, God forbid that, like, I got to tell you, I never once thought Mark Chernoff would ever do anything that stupid. I just thought he was too smart of a man to, frankly, and, you know, a radio savant. I mean, the guy turned WFAN from 86 into the most powerful radio station in America, did he not? With everything he ever touched turned to gold. And certainly Mike and the Mad Dog were, you know, and Imus, all that was the reason for his success. And then you can do Boomer and Carton and all the rest and everything they've ever done. But the reality is, I would never think he'd do something that stupid. But they actually were going to replace Mike Francesa with Chris Christie. And tell me I'm crazy. That's exactly what they were going to do.
He tried out. He had a couple of shows he did during the summer that year. Yeah.
And there was tremendous rhythm in that he was going to replace him. There was a lot of wind blowing that he was getting the job.
Yes,
and
there
that,
was.
That is exactly why I think that him having any involvement at all with the New York Mets is absolutely hilarious. That's the funniest thing I've heard since they said he was going to replace Francesa. I mean, this is worse than that.
That you've got
what
a situation.
What does he have to do
now
with anything other right than he's a blabbering idiot? I mean, right, he's a. Well, did he not run the state into the ground? And he's the guy that got involved with the George Washington Bridge scandal. He said, "Shut down that bridge one day in the city, the biggest city in the world, and we're going to shut down the GW Bridge and put traffic at an 8-hour standstill at the GW Bridge with all of his minions and losers and women and men that worked for him conspiring with him to pull off the impossible, which was start the world's greatest traffic jam in the history of the free modern society. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
Okay.
This is
so he should be in jail. This guy is such a piece of shack. He should be in jail. Now I've even heard that this moron fat ass, and I'll call him whatever I want, and there's nothing you can do about it. I've even heard he's trying to actually go for it again for the second time to run for, he wants to run for president of the United States again. This fat ass actually thinks he could get enough people to vote for him to be the president of the United States. That is funnier than Bill de Blasio saying that he is going to run for president. And now I've heard that he wants to run for governor of New York. He ran for president. Do you remember? That lasted 5 minutes. Now he's going to run for governor of New York against this woman that's in charge after Cuomo got busted being a pervert.
People
are actually going to vote for Bill de Blasio, who ran New York City into the ground over the last 8 years like no mayor has ever done in the history of this city. He's the biggest loser that has ever had the job. I mean, he's the laughing stock of mayors across America. There's no one that gets more abuse than de Blasio. Am I wrong?
Not wrong. He has no shot of winning the governorship.
Oh, my God. Where does this guy get his advice from? Must be that family of his. They're the only ones that love him. All right, Carver High. The spread was 6, right? Did I not say? And you said it should be.
You guys have been blowing teams out. So I said you'd win by double digits because you've been blowing teams out.
Well, we won by 8.
Oh, okay. So right on the number.
So the game was really good. And the Ballers had, we were down 10-0. And then at the half, we were up 6. So we fought our way back. And then in the second half, there were like 4 lead changes. So they took the lead twice from us in the second half with 3 balls. They started hitting 3s, and they came back on us. We were up 6. They came back. They took the lead. Then we took the lead. And then they took the lead again. And then we took the lead. And we finally finished them off by 8. One of our guys, Dalen Wiggins, 6'4", 220. He showed up at halftime because of his job. He was late, right? So the guy showed up, and he didn't stretch. He didn't shoot, didn't warm up, didn't do anything. Put his shoes on. I said, go in. We need fresh legs. I don't care if you stretched or not. Just go in there and start playing. The kid's like 23. And he came in a game, and he immediately just started going right to the hole. And he missed a couple shots, and I was, like, getting frustrated. I'm like, it's all right. Leave him in there. Let's see what he does. With about 3 minutes left in the game, 2:50 left, he stuck a three from the top of the perimeter, wide open, and he pulled up and shot it and buried it. That gave us, we were up one, and it put us up four. Then we went down. They missed a shot. We got the rebound. They stole it from us, shot it again, missed. We got the rebound, broke free, went down. He got a ball down low, got fouled, smashed him in the nose, like he broke his nose. And then he went up, made the bucket anyway. He's like bleeding from his nose, goes to the line bleeding, and buries the free throw. So his 6 points put us up seven. And then with like 20, 30 seconds left, they fouled us again. The kid made one of two. And then that's where it ended, at eight. And so he came in and made 7 points that were crucial late in the game that made the difference. Our two bigs, Coco and Superman, Derek, they both had like 20 plus, 25, and like I'd say 25 and 22, the two of them. And then I had like 3 or 4 buckets. And then our shooter, Chad, who averaged like 25 a game hitting threes, they clamped down on him. He didn't score. And then our other guards both had a few buckets and a few free throws. We all played great defense, got all, you know, a majority of the rebounds. Their big had a big game, probably 15. And they're 3-point shooters, two of them. One of them had at least 15. The other one probably had 18. So they were, and everybody else kind of chipped away and had some layups and buckets for them that kept them in the game all night. We're the two best teams in the league, without a doubt. And that team has never beat us. They're 0-80 against us all time, playoffs and regular season. And the guy actually said to me again tonight, "You do care." I said, I care about as much as those 8 banners up on that wall, bro. I said, "You got donuts. I got 8 titles. I've been in 18 finals. That's how much I care." All right, so Dadanoff had the winner for the Vegas Golden Knights. Nylander had the overtime winner for the Leafs against the Blackhawks. Dylan Larkin had the overtime winner for the Red Wings. They're 4-2-1. Detroit's playing good hockey all of a sudden with all that young talent they got. And Bobrovsky made 29 saves as the Panthers remained undefeated with their win tonight over the Bruins, 4-1, kicking a Bruins ass down in Sunrise. Right now, the Kings lead the Suns by 10. Glad I have the Kings in 8 tonight. The Grizzlies are down 10 in Portland at the Moda to the Blazers right now. Is Chauncey with the lead by 10 going to the fourth. Clippers trail the Cavaliers, 7 left in the third by a bucket. I got the Cavs in that 8 spot tonight, I believe. Yeah, it's an 8 spot in that game as well. The Thunder embarrassed the Lakers. Hornets by 9 over the Magic. Wizards beat the Celtics in Boston. The Pacers lost by 18 in Toronto. Hawks beat the Pelicans. Pelicans covered. And the T-Wolves shocked the Bucks tonight. That's crazy. Tomorrow, Packers and Zona in Zona. Tomorrow night, Arizona laying 6.5. College football, you got East Carolina against South Florida, and you got Coastal 6-1 taking on Troy. So that should be good, right? Baseball's off till Friday. Astros win. It's 1-1 in the World Series. Both games were very boring. Hopefully it'll get exciting for the next 3 in Atlanta. Tomorrow, Joel Quenneville will meet with Gary Bettman to discuss what happened in Chicago in 2010. We'll see if he loses his job in Florida because he's doing a great job with the Panthers. Let's see how that all plays out. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 on Coast to Coast Sports Grid TV. Good night.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.